Well, thank you for that kind introduction. Praise God for his faithfulness. He is faithful. And I greetings to you from Wildwood, New Jersey, whereas, as John mentioned, I'm serving. This is my fourth summer as the evangelism coordinator there at the Boardwalk Chapel Ministry, and it's been just a very transformative experience for me. It's really deepened my faith in just the power of God and the power of the gospel. So thank you for all of your prayers. Well, if you turn with me, we are going to read from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Verses 25-34. So let's hear the words of our Lord Jesus to us this morning. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The words of our Lord Jesus. Let me pray and ask for his blessing. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you for your word, which is powerful and active. And Lord God, you know that I am just a weak servant and that my words, Lord, don't have power. But your words, oh God, have power. And Lord, you know that I can speak all I want, but nothing will happen unless your Spirit, Lord, works. So I ask, Lord, that you would not only give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech, but that you would pour out your Spirit, and that as we hear your word, Lord, you would change hearts and you would bring about eternal fruit. But I pray that even now you would build your kingdom. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a pretty familiar passage, I think, probably to most of us. You know, we're familiar with Jesus' words, don't be anxious about your life. But this message here is more than just a Christian, it's more than just a Christian version of the old Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy. You know, don't worry about your life, but just be happy. This is actually not really Jesus' point. Jesus' point in this passage, right, comes in verse 33 when he tells his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, don't be anxious, because when you're anxious about your life, you're anxious about your body, that is antithetical to seeking God's kingdom first, that actually gets in the way of seeking God's kingdom. So I want to begin, actually, this morning by listening, considering Jesus' words, what is the center of his words here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is his word to you, to me, today. Now, we've all probably sung this, maybe in a song. We're all familiar with these words. But what exactly is Jesus saying here? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Well, first, let's ask, what is the kingdom? You know, kingdom is one of those words like grace, salvation, words that we tend to use a lot as Christians, but often we're not clear in our own minds about what Jesus means by the words. And when we're not clear on the words, then they lose their power. So what does the kingdom mean? What is the kingdom? Well, very simply, the kingdom is God's rule, right? So a kingdom has a king, and the king has authority over his kingdom, right? So whatever the king says, his subjects, right, have to listen to him. The king says, plow these fields and give me a part of your produce, then you've got to do it, right? The king says, you're going to serve in my army, then you do it. So the kingdom is God's rule. So then we have to ask, what does it mean to seek the kingdom? What does it mean to seek the kingdom? Well, first, to seek the kingdom means to seek to live yourself under the rule of God. So the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Right? Then you pray without ceasing. Right? The Lord, who's the king, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Lay down your lives. Lay down your desires for the sake of your wives. Then you lay down your lives for the sake of your wives. Right? The king says, love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself from the heart. He says, consider others as more significant, more important than yourself, then you do it, right? So to seek the kingdom means to seek to live under the rule of God. And this is why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because his righteousness, right, is how he has created his subjects to live, right? How he calls us to live. Well, let's take a moment to ask, how is it that we can live under the rule of God? Well, first, we need to know his word. We need to know what his righteousness, right, looks like. But how can we actually live in obedience? Because Paul in Romans says that in the flesh, right, it is impossible to please God. Because we're all born with the nature that's in rebellion against the king. And we are not, by nature, living under his rule. And this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Right? A person has to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because you need a new heart. And so, you know, it's not good enough just to be born the first time. Even being born into a Christian family, you need a new heart. But that's why Jesus came, right? Jesus came to crucify the old nature, the flesh, and to be raised in new life. So that if you believe in him, right, you embrace him with both arms and you follow him, right? He raises you from the dead and gives you that new heart so that you're able to live under the rule of God. And so maybe you're here this morning and, you know, you've been attending church for years. Maybe, you know, you were born in a Christian family and you grew up. And you think, well, yeah, I'm a Christian just because that's what my family does. That's just because I go to church every Sunday. You know, you must be born again to enter the kingdom. Have you gone to Jesus? Do you go to Jesus? So you must be born again in order to live under his rule. But you also need the power of the Spirit, because in ourselves we don't have the ability to walk in the ways of the Lord. We don't have the power to pull ourselves along under his rule. But that's why Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go to the Father, I'm going to pour out the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, because I give the living waters. And John tells us the living waters is the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to go to Jesus. You have to go to Jesus daily, daily, for his Spirit, for his strength, to walk and live under the rule of God. All right, so what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? To seek first the kingdom means to seek to live yourself under the rule of God. But secondly, it means to seek for others to live under the rule of the King, under the rule of God. And this is why Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. So to seek the kingdom means not just that you're seeking to live, right, as God calls you to live, but that you're seeking to make disciples of everyone else. And that's why Jesus, right, sent out his disciples, and he gave the church, right, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Go out and seek for others to live under the rule of God. And that's why we, as a church, and that's why you must speak the word boldly. Proclaim the gospel to those that God's put in your life. Family, neighbors, coworkers, fellow students, classmates. That's why Jesus tells us to speak the word. Right? We bring others under the rule of God by preaching the gospel, speaking the word, and by fervently praying for it. Praying, Lord God, make disciples. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come here in Mantua, in Clarksboro, Paulsboro, South Jersey, Wildwood. Let your kingdom come. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom, the rule of God. To seek it means to seek to live under it yourself, and to seek for others to live under the rule of God. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. What does he mean by first? What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? Well, Jesus is not speaking chronologically here. You know, when I was younger, I used to think of this as a chronological statement. Jesus is saying, you know, come to me, believe in me, become a Christian first, and then after you've done that, then go about, you know, worrying about the rest of your life. But Jesus is not talking about time here. Rather, Jesus is speaking about priority. To seek first the kingdom means to make the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right, your first priority in life. Jesus says in the passage before, right, in verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and money. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Because Jesus says, right, you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness and be devoted to that, or you're going to be devoted to something else. You're either going to be devoted to living under the rule of the king and seeking to live for others to live under his rule, or you're going to be devoted to a different king. And so Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so it's in this context that Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life. Because when you're anxious about your life, then you stop seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life, he points us to two things in particular that tend to draw us and that will draw us away from seeking his kingdom first. First, he says, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink. The two things in particular, don't be anxious about your life, don't be anxious about your looks. Those are the two things that Jesus really focuses in here that pull us away from making God's kingdom and his righteousness our priority. So first he says, don't be anxious about your life. When you're anxious about your life, am I going to have enough food? Am I going to be able to pay doctor's bills? Am I going to be able to do these things? When you become anxious about that, that becomes your priority. I taught junior and senior high school for full-time for 5 years, and I've been teaching for 9 years, I think it is. And I like to ask the students each year, I like to ask different students, so tell me, why are you in school? Why are you trying to do well in school? What do you think the most common answer? 98% of the time, the answer is, well, I'm in school studying and doing my homework because I want to make sure I get into a good college. So I said, okay, why do you want to get into a good college? Well, because I want to make sure I get a good job. Why do you want to make sure you get a good job? Well, because I want to make sure that I'm making, plenty of money so I can have a good house and I can have, nice cars and I can send my kids to college so they can have nice houses and nice cars. I'm still waiting for a student to say, I'm studying because I want to be equipped to serve God and his kingdom. Whether it's as an engineer or as a carpenter, whether it's as a teacher, or whether it's going into ministry. I want my life, right? I want to use what the gifts that God has given me and develop them so I can serve God's kingdom more effectively. And Jesus says, seek first, right? That's your priority. As a teacher, I also, encounter a number of parents who over the years took their children out of a Christian school. And I would talk to them, and often, as they were explaining their decision, they'd say, well, I really like, I'd rather my kids got a Christian education. It's great for them to be learning more about the Lord and learning, kind of being discipled. But I think they have a better shot at getting a good scholarship if they're going to, another school. Anxious, right? Being anxious about the future. Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be driven by fear. Don't be driven by worry about the future. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about those things because the king, he's a good king. And he gives us an object lesson here. He says, look at the birds of the air. Have you seen the robins? They show up in the spring. They go out. They pick worms. Have you ever seen robins building up a worm storehouse, warehouse, a worm warehouse? No, right? What do? Each morning they go out and they get their worms. And God always, right, provides the worms for the day. And Jesus says, right, look at how the king treats his smallest subjects. If he provides for his smallest subjects, what do you think he's going to do? How do you think he's going to treat his most important subjects? You. He's going to provide. Trust him. If you have never heard of George Mueller, write down his name and look him up. I just read his biography this past year. George Mueller was a pastor in Bristol, England in the late 19th century. And he's most famous for starting some orphanages and schools there. And he, his wife, and several others who are part of his ministry, over the course of 50 years, housed and fed over 10,000, about 11,000 orphans. And through his ministry, about 2,000 of them were converted, came to know the Lord. And he also had, beyond that, another ministry distributing Bibles. He distributed about 600,000 Bibles over the course of his life in those days. Well, he had a passion and a heart for these orphans, but it was fascinating reading his biography, learning why he started the orphanage. And the inspiration began when, as a pastor, he found he was having a similar conversation with many in his congregation. And he would talk to particularly fathers in the congregation and say, you know, you need to be spending time during the week, right, discipling your children, reading the word with them, praying with them. You need to come to the church, right, take part in the prayer meetings. These are important things. And the fathers would tell him, you know, that's great. You know, I'd love to be praying. You know, I'd love to spend time, you know, teaching my children, doing devotions. But, you know, I'm working 15, 16 hours a day. And if I work any less than 16 hours a day, I won't be able to provide for my family. And George Mueller thought, you know what? The Lord says providing for your family, right, and having your needs taken care of is never, right, mutually exclusive with seeking first the kingdom. God says if you seek his kingdom first, he will provide. And so George Mueller said, I want to show my church and show the world that Jesus is true to his word today. So we started this orphanage, and over the course of 50 years, they never fundraised. They never published their needs. They only prayed and trusted God to provide. And God always provided every day. And he's got about a 1,200-page biography. And many of that biography is just a documentation of his journal of how God provided each day for those 11,000 orphans that they fed and ministered to. So don't be anxious about your life, but seek first his kingdom. So Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. But secondly, he says, don't be anxious about your looks. And this is something, especially in our American culture, that we are very prone to, right? And I'm speaking as one, a product of American culture. How much of our energies are devoted to how we appear to others? I was a couple of years ago. There was a young woman who was interested in coming on staff at the Boardwalk Chapel for the summer, and her family said, "Well, you know, that's great. You know, that's wonderful that you want to serve the Lord and all that. But you know, look at your car. You know, it's 15 years old." And they said, "Now look at your older sister. Look at the nice apartment that she lives in, and she's got a nice car, and it's well dressed, you know, fashionable. You're not going to get there by giving up, you know, an entire summer to work at a ministry. What were they saying? They're saying, got to be worried about what you look like. Right? And it's so easy for us to fall into. Right? We say, well, you know, I've got to look sharp. I've got to look respectable. And so, as we become anxious about what we wear, about how we look, our appearance, what happens? Our devotion turns away from seeking first the kingdom, and that becomes our priority. But Jesus says, again, consider the king. Look at how he treats his subjects. You see the lilies of the field? They're not anxious about what they look like, right? They're not putting all their energies and times into making sure they appear nicely. And yet, look at the beauty in which they're arrayed, the glory in which they're arrayed. The king is a good king, and he will provide. He'll make sure that you're clothed in beauty and glory. So, I'd ask you this morning, what are you seeking? What are you seeking first? Are you anxious about your life? You know, let me ask you, as a Christian, as a subject of the King, as a church, what would it look like in your life to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? When you're seeking first the kingdom, you'll be devoted to the king. You'll be devoted to his word. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, right? Be filled with it. Fill yourselves with the word. Because through the word, you're transformed into, right, his image. And through the word, others, right, are transformed, right, and brought out of darkness and into his kingdom of marvelous light. When you're seeking first the kingdom, right, you're speaking the word to one another, and you're speaking about the king. And when you're devoted to the king, seeking his kingdom first, you're praying, you're fervent in prayer, saying, Lord Jesus, give me your spirit, give me your strength to walk in your ways, to be like you. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done, right, in my neighborhood as it's done in heaven. And you seek, right, you seek, you ask, you knock, and you're fervent in that and persistent. That's what it looks like to seek first the kingdom. But when we get anxious about our life, we get anxious about 20 years down the road, we get anxious about 10 years down the road, we get anxious, right, about how we look, right? Then we turn away and we lose our devotion to the King. So Jesus says, remember the King, remember his character. He is a good King. He provides, he knows your needs, he provides for you. He will clothe you in beauty and glory. So seek his kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are a good king. You know our needs and you take care of us. Lord, we praise you for your provision. And we ask, O Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would give us hearts, Lord, that are united in devotion to you. And we pray that you would give us a singleness of devotion to your glory, to your kingdom and your righteousness, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. Lord, this is a gift itself, is a gift from you. So we ask that you would give it to us. In Jesus, we ask. Amen.